Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. I'm your host, Jay Rich, and you're listening to the 10th in my series on this giant and sometimes frustrating Great Awakening map. This episode is going to focus on the Galactic Federation, the Moon, and Mars. And as always, I'm truly grateful to be here speaking with you today. I hope you're still enjoying our deep dive on this strange web artifact. And as always, you can email me about any other interesting topics or guests you might want to suggest. You can use the contact form on our website or contact me on Twitter at Awaken Exchanges. This is actually the last episode that's going to air before I'm officially on the road starting the podcast scouting trip to Austin. I'm going to be making a few stops along the way as well as numerous on the way back. I'll be sharing photos on Instagram and Facebook, as well as preparing some new show topics and interviewing some guests along the way. I'm extremely grateful to be able to take this opportunity right now, and I hope that it leads to great things for the podcast, the vapes, and the ARC community. I think that things are definitely progressing in the right direction, and I'm going to continue to use these mindfulness techniques to look at my life from a perspective of gratitude and keep reminding myself how lucky I am to be where I am today. I am also extremely lucky for the future that I get to be a part of because of where I'm at today. So I'm truly grateful that you are here to join me along the way and to share in these experiences in some way, shape, or form. Thank you all. We're going to get to these last few episodes of the map, but if you're just joining us or you haven't already seen it, you can still find a copy of the high-res map in our show notes and on our website at awakenedexchanges.com. And if you're checking out the Telegram channel or Twitter feed, you can see the highlighted version that I've made of the map to show how I'm grouping these topics together. And I know I've already given the disclaimer that we're talking about a lot of conspiracy theories in this entire series, but here it is again. So let's continue to keep that in mind when we decide how to weigh all of these things, all right? I'm doing my best to keep these intros brief unless I need to add some sort of context, but I want to remind you that I am updating the pinned Twitter threads and Telegram channel to collect all of the visuals that go with this series. I hope you're enjoying the threads, and if you still need the link to the Telegram channel, it's in the show notes as well as on our website, and I hope that you engage with us in the exchange over there. Before we get to the Galactic Federation, here's a brief rundown of our sponsors. As always, I want to thank all of you personally for your support. Just listening and sharing this podcast with your friends gives me a reason to provide the best content I can. If you have the means and would like to contribute personally, please take a look at our Patreon page where you will get access to exclusive content and deals. There are already bonus videos available and more are on the way. As for our other sponsors, Awaken Vapes was the first of the Awaken brands and has been bringing you the highest quality, high terpene, CBD-only vape products since 2019. Genesis Farms has been making the highest quality medicinal RSO, among many other fantastic products, starting with the medical community back before 2010. And last but definitely not least, the Caramel Corn Company, bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. And remember, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube, or follow us wherever else you're listening. And if you can, please leave us a review or a comment on Apple Podcasts. It really does help spread the word. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. All right, now, stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Awakened Exchanges. Genesis Farms was founded on the belief in cannabis's ability to heal. Genesis Farms is more than a brand. They're a compassionate community of like-minded folks that generate top-quality cannabis products, made with love and care. Community outreach is always on their mind, and their partnerships with Grow for Vets and Parents for Pot was just the beginning of what they hope to accomplish in the coming years. You can find their products on the best dispensary shelves across the state of Oregon. Their RSO is the most consistent quality in the state. Their tinctures are second to none, and their personal massage oil will have you and your partner coming back for more. Find them on Facebook and Instagram, and ask for them in your local dispensary today. Don't forget to listen to Sean's interview right here on Awakened Exchanges. It's episode number 3. The Caramel Corn Company is bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be, made with premium ingredients in small, handcrafted batches and completely gluten-free. Their flavors include original, roasted cashew, salted almond, mixed nut, spicy sriracha, white morsel macadamia, peanut butter, butterscotch, and my personal favorites, chocolate drizzle and raspberry caramel apple. I can't say enough about how delicious this caramel corn is. It makes a great gift any time of the year. You can find them for sale in Portland area market of choice locations, and hopefully again online soon when they get stocked back up. Please visit www.caramelcorncompany.com for more information today. And remember, buying local supports small businesses and keeps your money building your community. Last but not least, Awakened Vapes has been bringing you some of the highest quality CBD vapes since ringing in the new year of 2019. I became passionate about cannabis after a car wreck left me with major migraines, and no prescribed pills helped alleviate the symptoms. Having only tried cannabis a handful of times in high school and college, it was a doctor's recommendation that led me to give it another try. Only then did I realize that we'd all been at least a little misled about the health benefits of this amazing plant. Despite an unexpected break because of the vape ban, and then a global health crisis with COVID, the business is stronger than ever, and we invite you to check out our updated website today. We are still offering our three varieties with new and improved terpene formulations for enhanced flavor to go along with the custom blended effect profiles. Check back at www.awakenedvapes.com for any updates, and you can always email us about wholesaling or white labeling opportunities. We're back again. This is our 10th episode involving the Great Awakening Map, and I want to thank you for once again joining me on this special extra deep dive edition of Awakened Exchanges as we continue to explore this rambling web artifact. Are you ready for this? All right, then let's get started and talk about the Galactic Federation. The map says the Galactic Federation consists of 6th density light beings in service to the one infinite creator. They are supposed to be the, quote, stewards of the Earth's evolution and spiritual development throughout history. These beings will provide aid to Earth after the Great Solar Flash, according to the map, and they are described as blue spheres that buffer the energies of the Great Solar Flash. Don't worry, though. The map says we have free will because they have a law of non-interference. That's right. Even though they're controlling our evolution and our spiritual development, we have free will, so don't you worry. From here, the map starts to link in the Egyptian god Ra, who was apparently from the ancient builder race, and is the same Ra that's supposedly from the Book of Channelings, the Law of One. And that is Ra Tyr'ir, also the Blue Avian from the first part of this series, episode 18. Now, that's a whole lot of Ra to try and wrap into one belief system, but they try and do it. Ra is said to be telepathic and all-knowing, so who else would this all-knowing being send to be what the map calls the messenger of Ra? Well, if you've been listening to it so far, you've probably guessed it. That would be our one and only favorite catch-all source, Corey Good. Now, is it just me, or is he starting to seem like the Forrest Gump of the secret space program, always showing up right when he's needed and interacting with these great intergalactic beings? Well, yeah. Maybe you guys will like my meme that I post this week. You should take a look. Anyway, I think that just about brings us to the Super Federation, whom the map says are the genetic farmer races, i.e. the beings that seeded life, or at least manipulated it, by starting the genetic experimentation. They're our fourth or fifth density cosmic cousins, and we've been talking about this a little bit before, but they've apparently been performing what the map calls the grand experiment on us. That is, rather, genetic manipulation of humans on Earth by extraterrestrial groups. Not just one, mind you. Don't worry, though. They say that after the Great Solar Flash, all 22 of the ET/human genetic experiments will now cease, and that the Super Federation will be disbanded. That should make us feel much more comfortable with the fact that apparently they're okay letting these genetic experiments go on with us right now. I really don't have any clue. Anyway, why don't we talk a little bit about the Sphere Bean Alliance, otherwise known as the Guardians, that the map says have been assisting us through our spiritual ascension. This alliance includes the Blue Avians, which we talked about in previous episodes, as well as mentioning the Big Blue himself, Ra Tyr-Ir. The map actually attributes this quote to him. The Blue Avian message quote, "We greet you in the love and light of the one infinite creator." It's not a bad saying, but I don't really know what else to say about it other than I had to mention it. Because it's on the map. So, the next members of the Alliance are beings called the Golden Triangle Head Beings. I don't even know what to say about these. We already talked about them once before. I can't even picture these things outside of that old South Park episode, Jubilee. You see the spinning godhead? That's the only thing I can even come up with. But my brain just hits an off switch when we get to such low probability possibilities that it just glazes, my eyes glaze over, and that's it. Anyway, the blue orbs are mentioned as separate from the blue spheres, but are they not the same thing? Does 5D just need a thesaurus, or did he actually find, quote, evidence of two completely separate spherical-shaped alien races that both happen to be blue? Or is it all stemming from Corey Good, who we all know is 100% accurate, right? I don't know. I think that this might be a good time to bring up channeling and move on. So the map mentions channeling in this section, which we've also talked about before, but the dictionary definition is something along the lines of the act or practice of serving as a medium through which a spirit guide purportedly communicates with living persons. Now, this is how we are supposed to get some of the information to help us along this great awakening path that we're supposed to be taking, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're communicating with a person who has even existed on this plane before, or even in 3D space, apparently. So how do we even address this with evidence? At what point is an overactive imagination more likely than extraterrestrial communication? How could we tell? Well, I have no clue. So at some point here soon, I'm going to bring Sean Shumway back, probably after I get back from the road trip, and he's going to perform a channeling session on air for us. He's going to explain the whole process and what he is attempting to do. And I'm going to let you decide for yourself. It'll be the first time I've witnessed any of this either, so it should be interesting. I'll keep you up to date as I know more. Anyway, it would be pretty fascinating to hear from one of those multidimensional beings the map mentions. But again, how would we know? Maybe Sean can help us figure out those details in a few weeks. By the way, though, these multidimensional beings can use teleportation. You knew that, right? They just phase in and out of our reality. Does this tie in with the great Henry Zebrowski and last podcast on the left favorite Bigfoot conspiracy, as well as some of the other theories on why UFOs just disappear? They just phase shift a little and poof, invisible to our eyes. Just ask science. This is technically possible. But I don't know. What's that ranch? Skinwalker Ranch, I think it was, that Robert Bigelow once owned. I was fairly disappointed with Robert's interview on Joe Rogan, and while I do believe that there has to be some weight given to large amounts of evidence, whether it's anecdotal or not, you can't really claim it as scientific evidence and proof until you have some sort of physical evidence. And Robert really seems like he wants to believe even more than I want to believe. So I'm gonna go ahead and play Mulder here and just say that while I want to believe, I still need the evidence. I think this is probably the right time to mention the asteroid belt information, since we're about to get into life on the red planet. And FYI, I'm still hitting every phrase that the map mentions. I'm just also trying to work them a little bit more into my writing and explanations. So I hope it's coming together a little bit easier for everyone as I get more practice at this. Of course, we only have a couple episodes left, so well, hopefully it'll pay off for the future episodes of deep dive subjects as well. All right, so we've got to start about 500,000 years ago, when there was apparently an ancient war between Maldek and Mars. Who or what the hell is Maldek, you ask? Well, we talked about it a little in episode 26 as well, I believe, but the original source is The Nine Freedoms by George King. And while it still sounds like a cautionary tale to me, written by someone that wanted to save us from ourselves, the brief version of the conspiracy theory is that Maldek evolved in a similar fashion to our planet and eventually blew itself to pieces through the use and misuse of nuclear power. Eventually, they went to war with Mars and the planet was blown up, creating the asteroid belt that we have today. So, survivors from that Mars catastrophe were then said to have escaped to Earth, where they built Atlantis and the pyramids, trying to pass down their knowledge as they were masters of manipulating energy. Does this go back to the theory about how they built the pyramids and those megalithic structures with levitation technology? Manipulating energy through magnetic waves, maybe? Or through the sound waves? I don't know. All I know is there is no proof. And I still have a crazy kitten. So sorry for the random noises you get on occasion. But that does bring us to life on Mars and the Martian red crossed out, followed by blue skies. I thought that was a little odd, but I decided to research it. And originally, I thought it was about the theory that Mars used to have more of an atmosphere and therefore blue skies. But according to the Illinois Science Council, Mars sunsets are actually blue, whereas the daytime sky is what ranges from yellow-brown to pinkish-orange. The map doesn't give any more details about what it means by Martian blue skies, but now you get at least both possibilities that I could find. The map does go on to claim that there have been humans living on Mars since the 1930s. You heard me right. Now, most of the humans on Mars apparently live in a slave colony, though, and the ICC, that's the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate, which we've talked about a few times in the past, well, they use that slave labor, that human slave labor, to achieve their goals. What is that goal? More power and money? Isn't that always the goal? Most of this is apparently done in underground ICC bases, and that's where the 20 and back program comes into play as well. Remember, we're only hearing from those people that the memory wipe didn't work on, right? It's not that they're just making it up. Yeah, I'm not going to talk too much more about this again. We've covered it on those previous episodes, and you can go back and listen for yourself or explore yourself. Just remember to keep your sources in mind. Let's not forget about the inner Mars civilizations, though. The Mantids are an insectoid race of aliens. Apparently, they still live in the underground caves of Mars. They didn't seem to have much to do with Cydonia, though. If the name Cydonia sounds familiar, that's probably because it's the famous location of the Face on Mars. And most all of my listeners will have already heard of the Face on Mars, but I have included pictures of it as well. But it's been shown to be a case of pareidolia, and that's assuming you believe NASA at least. And while it may be the most familiar formation on Cydonia, there are many others that the map claims exist there, including ancient ET ruins such as the Pharaoh's sarcophagus and supposed pyramids that are both mentioned. The next thing the map talks about is 19.5 degrees. And according to vortexmaps.com, when it's talking about that, it's likely talking about the fact that 19.5 degrees is the angle that's been found by researchers, including Richard Hoagland, whom we discussed extensively and repeatedly. Just like he says, the 19.5 degrees is repeatedly encoded in the structures of Cydonia. It is viewed as a signal in the noise, as some kind of a message left there by an intelligence. It's called T, the tetrahedral constant, because of its significance in tetrahedral geometry. A tetrahedron is a pyramid shape composed of four equilateral sides, like the Great Pyramids. The apex of a tetrahedron, when placed within a circumscribing sphere, one of the tetrahedron's apexes touching the North Pole and the other three touching the surface at 19.5 degrees south latitude. Why this number would be important to the builders of Martian structures is not quite clear, though Hoagland is theorizing it has to do with what he calls hyperdimensional physics. And that's where I decided we've already talked about that before, so I'm going to let you research yourself. We have two other things to cover as far as Mars is concerned, though. The first are the satellite slash rover blackouts. And I'm going to include an article from the Daily Mirror, published on September 24th, 2018. And in it, they talk about Tyler Glockner, who runs Channel Secure Team 10, which currently has over 2.02 million subscribers. When NASA had another glitch on September 15th, 2018, Tyler took to YouTube to proclaim maybe they do not want that information making its way back to Earth. I would not put that past NASA myself. They've had several blackouts over the years. This is very suspicious. I think they are hiding something on Mars. I suppose it is possible that, but as far as me, Jay actually thinks about this instead of Tyler, well, it's also possible. I think it's more likely that they really did have a glitch in communication with a drone that happens to be on another planet. And our technology is good, but at least the stuff we know about, it's still a stretch to speak with a drone on another planet. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But the last thing before we move on will actually tie into the next subsection as well, and that is jump gate portals. This was a new twist on a familiar conspiracy to me, but I'm going to read a fairly lengthy section from krschannel.com, but I'm going to edit a bit for clarity. You can see the original by visiting the link in the show notes. However, this is my abbreviated version. It starts in El Segundo, California. In a CIA laboratory, there's an elevator that transports a human being onto Mars, or any other planet with a solid ground. Mars is well known because it has been tested many, many times for the test runs. This technology came about from reverse engineering of a crashed spaceship which was sent from Alpha Centauri, the constellation made famous from the movie Avatar. The scientists discovered that through the consciousness of a human or alien mind, the ship sets a destination you desire and opens up a wormhole in front of the ship which transports you to the destination of your liking. This sounds like Star Wars or Stargate-type hogwash, but two of the top CIA officials have come out to talk about this jump room. Andrew D. Basiago has been the biggest and most resourceful evidence of this jump room, which was created from reverse engineering. You have to ask yourself, why were all these probes like Beagle 1, 2, and 3 sent to Mars? To see how it looks? No. NASA has seen a enough of Mars much before they announced it with their phony mission of Beagle, the main function for sending Beagle to Mars was to set up the elevator of the jump room, which will act as the receiving end catcher for any object or human to be transported there. Right now, you must have another jump room available at the other end in order for you to go from place to place. The first time this was used was back in 1996 when they landed the first robotic rover on Mars, which they claimed was just a camera on wheels taking pictures and samples on Mars. The entire project was financed by German Nazis since the end of World War II era. The Germans were very, very intelligent, and they were the most advanced in science and mathematics compared to any other country, including the United States. It took over 40 years to solve the riddles and mysteries of the spaceship, which also contained the technology of the jump room. Where is this person getting his supposed facts from? As far as I can tell, it's the same single source interviews as 99% of these claims, where people are getting attention and telling stories with providing no physical evidence. They just look dumbfounded at you if you don't see it exactly the way that they do. If you can't see that what they are telling you is the absolute truth. And while when they talk about it, I think a fair amount of them may believe it. They've heard it from somebody who's heard it from somebody who's made it up or has taken a kernel and run with it. A jump room sure sounds like a transporter room to me. But Star Trek or not, it sounds like fiction. So I'm going to get to the NASA section and let's continue our talk about NASA by first looking into what the 2007 book Dark Missions by Richard C. Hoagland and Mike Barra allege. According to a review on Graham Hancock's website, not written by him, mind you, and not saying it's associated with Graham Hancock, it's just a review of the book. Anyway, the review says that the book speaks to the increasing conviction felt by many Americans that their government routinely lies to them. I can agree with that. It also states that far from its squeaky clean image of technological infallibility, Hoagland says that the truth is that NASA was born in a lie and has gone to extraordinary lengths to conceal the facts of its occult origins and its sensational discoveries on the moon and Mars. It alleges various NASA cover-ups, such as photo manipulation to hide lunar and Martian anomalies. And while that covers most of the NASA circle, actually, I have to touch on the map's claim that the moon landing was actually a 33rd degree Freemason ritual. That same article about Dark Mission mentions that the Freemasonic flag seen on the cover of the book was actually brought to the moon by 32nd degree astronaut Buzz Aldrin, and later ceremoniously presented to Scottish Rite headquarters in Washington, D.C. So which was it? 32nd or 33rd degree? Was the landing how Buzz got his 33rd degree? What is the significance of the flag itself? I don't know, but I will say that Buzz Aldrin has said some very odd things over the years, and while I would love to hear what he says about this nowadays, especially since his filter seems to be gone, I just don't know how reliable it is. It would probably have been more satisfying and revelatory to have heard in his younger years. Now we're getting into what the map says about the moon and the related conspiracies there. So I suppose I need to mention that the moon was artificially placed into Earth's orbit 500,000 years ago, you know. Yeah, that synchronous orbit is actually held by a tractor beam. It's got to be true, right? The map says so. Why was it placed there? Well, it doesn't say much about that, but maybe it has something to do with this John Lear quote that the map shares. In it, he states that the moon is a soul catcher. What's a soul catcher? Well, it's the physical thing that keeps us trapped reincarnating in samsara, apparently. On Coast to Coast, Lear said that a massive cube has been found on the moon, and that this cube is responsible for not only holding human souls here on Earth, but that after you die, the cube pulls your soul into it and then erases your memory and reinserts your soul into a new baby to repeat the process over and over again. That is a weird way to look at reincarnation, but he also said that the moon was brought here from another star system long ago as part of the experiment, and that Earth was taken over about 200,000 years ago, and humanity is a genetically engineered slave race. Is this one of those grand experiments I'll talk about here in just a few minutes? I don't know how anyone could say that they know for sure, but the map doesn't really say anything for sure, does it? It does say that there is something that is supposed to be known as the Muhammad Treaty, which made the moon a non-warring zone circa AD 800. I couldn't find anything about this other than the map's own reference, so I decided to let it be after a little while. The next topic in this section is the secret space program's deep lunar mining operations and how they apparently revealed ancient civilizations and advanced technology. That technology supposedly comes from that ancient builder race we talked about, the same ones that put the moon in our orbit, among so many other things we've discussed. And if you've been listening to the series so far, the map mentions both ruins and technology, but when you dig down deeper, it's always somehow specifically vague. Or maybe I've just been too far down this rabbit hole for too long, and my brain is starting to glaze over permanently. The fact that all of these conspiracy theories seem to be feeding on their own tails, it's a big Ouroboros of itself. Hey, just look at our logo. Anyway, let's move on to the dark side of the moon and how it is quoted on the map as being heavily populated with ET bases. Cloaked bases being mentioned right after that leads me to believe that even if we got images from the dark side of the moon, they'd still have some reason to claim that's why we couldn't see them. As for the crystalline towers or glass domes, well, I hope that you're finding somewhere to view the images that I'm including, but people are trying to point towards these weird NASA picture anomalies as being proof of glass-domed city or bases on the moon. Oh, there's a old man's face right next to it too, though. Just take a look. It obviously couldn't be anything about that angle or pareidolia we were talking about, right? Where was this supposed base to have come from? Well, they're said to be the war ruins and or monuments left behind by that ancient builder race or some other civilization, and that the glass dome base was apparently where we sent 1,000 Marines to go once we found out it was still running. Who are they getting to volunteer for these missions, and how do they keep it so quiet? Oh yeah, they just erase their minds and send them back 20 years in the past to reinsert them into their previous bodies, and the mind swipe works, you know, 95% of the time, so they're okay with that 5% chance of these 20 and back survivors whistleblowing to us because we're going to think they're crazy. I mean, why would we ever think they're crazy? I don't know how much I can get into the grand experiment, but I'm going to try while we're still close to the ancient builder race. Apparently, after their reign, the other alien farmer races came in and started to experiment on us poor humans. The map says that there are 22 ET genetic programs that are going on and that the moon houses the Earth Observation Command Center. And I suppose it would be an ideal place to watch us with minimal hassle, especially if they can cloak their bases on the dark side of the moon and still get their observation instruments to read us accurately. Anyway, the next phrase that the map throws at us is the hollow honeycomb moon, which is a theory that's been widely put around ever since NASA's seismic sensors detected the moon ringing or reverberating after a spent rocket stage would impact its surface. Now, that part is true, and we really do know very little about the moon. We take it for granted every night, it affects our gravity, and people say our personality. That said, I'm not a huge believer in the more outlandish theories, such as the moon being a giant spaceship from that ancient builder race, just parked there like a broken down car, I suppose. I guess you can make an argument for most anything until we prove it, though, right? I'm thinking it's not the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Well, how about those Nazi breakaway groups? This goes back to Admiral Botha and his spies from our first Secret Space Program episode. And while we did get a lot of Nazi scientists, there are theories, some proven, that a lot of Nazis fled to places like Brazil and Argentina before the end of World War II. The more outlandish claims are that they also had a base in Antarctica that was how they left our planet. And that's why the reptilians are said to speak German, after all. I think that's going to bring us to Lunar Operations Command, because I'll get more on Antarctica in just another episode or two. But apparently there are three Lunar Operation Command bases, LOC 1, 2, and 3, which the map does imply are underground bases. Apparently the Galactic UN must also meet in one of those bases, as they're mentioned in close proximity. But that's the dummy group that's used to appease those lower-level nations as they start to learn the truth, right? The Dark Fleet, on the other hand, also known as the Draco and Reptilians, or the Reptilian Alliance, also seem to maintain a moon presence. Would you be surprised to hear that the Greys do as well? Well, the map mentions a very weird combination of words that I'm going to read out as a quote first, and then try to explain the best I can. The direct quote is Greys in big letters with a plus sign EBE dash talls slash drones. Okay, so what I think this mess is referring to is the theory that the gray aliens, which are also called by the generic EBE term, which just means extraterrestrial biological entities, the theory is that they are actually drones carrying out orders for other beings, maybe the Anunnaki or the Talls, but this is just storytelling as far as any evidence is actually concerned. So until we know more, come on, you know, Friday, June 25th, right? Yeah, they're going to tell us everything. Don't you worry. Okay, but let's talk about Operation Brilliant Pebbles. Yeah, are you down with OBP? Yeah, you know me. Oh, wait. That's OPP. I guess they're off by a letter. Fuck. Oh, well. I guess I'm going to have to share what the Wikipedia version says then, which is that Brilliant Pebbles was a ballistic missile defense system that was proposed by Lowell Wood and Edward Teller of the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in 1987, near the end of the Cold War. The system would consist of thousands of small missiles, not unlike conventional heat-seeking missiles, which would be placed in orbits so that hundreds would be above the Soviet Union at all times. If the Soviets launched any of its ICBM fleet, the Pebbles would detect their rocket motors using infrared seekers and collide with them. Because the Pebbles would strike the ICBM before the latter could release its warheads, the Pebbles could destroy several warheads with one shot. As the SDI design got modified, it raised its weight and cost, and while the original design called for around 10,000 missiles and would cost 10 to 20 billion, by 1990 the cost for just 4,600 missiles had ballooned to 55 billion. Fighting in Congress through the early 90s led to Pebbles cancellation in 1993, at least officially. I wouldn't put it past us having some random shit up in space, but I guess we're going to talk about the rods of God at some point as well. Anyway, the next of the random phrases on the map is ET disclosure, which is, again, supposed to have happened after the Great Solar Flash. But as I just mentioned, we're supposed to get disclosure in just over 2 months. And if you've been listening to this podcast or are a UFO fan of any sort, then you probably know that Friday, June 25th is disclosure day, at least according to the COVID relief bill that Trump signed in December of 2020. So I'm very interested in what they do release, even if I find the reaction of most Americans to this news perplexing. I mean, the government is flat out saying that these things are real and they don't know what they are. But what do? We shrug our shoulders and wait for the next COVID mutation news, which I get, but I'm just baffled. this is something that, you know, UFO disclosure enthusiasts have been fighting for decades. We've wanted them to say that these things were real and that we're not crazy, and then they do, and we don't even acknowledge it. I suppose baffled is a good way to start the discussion on the time-space bubble that supposedly hides a secret ET base, though. So, while I believe this was referencing the home of the nine that are in direct contact with the source and directing our fate, I'm just not sure what else to really say on that topic, as we've already discussed it once before. So let's talk a little bit about Buzz Aldrin. Now, he is a fascinating character, and as I mentioned before, he says some interesting things. One of those things was that he's quoted saying, and I did look up the interview where he said it, that there's a monolith on Phobos. Now, he didn't say it necessarily in the way that the map or the conspiracy theorist would have you believe. If you go look at the clip, it's kind of a wishy-washy thing. I think he's just saying monolith, as in giant stone. I don't think he was necessarily meaning it the way that people took it. But there is a square little stone when... I don't know. He said a lot of random things over the years, and it leads me to believe that he's still holding some secrets, but there's no proof or even direct statements that he's made about those secrets. The map does mention Stanley Kubrick and his masterpiece, The Shining, so I'm just going to cover the main conspiracy theory here that ties into this, at least, is that there are a fair number of people who genuinely believe that the U.S. government hired Stanley Kubrick hot off the heels of 2001 A Space Odyssey and impressed by its effects to direct a fake moon landing. A blue sweater that Danny is wearing features a knitted space shuttle that says Apollo 11 on it, and that has led fans to believe it's Kubrick's covert confession. Others say that he was hired to direct that fake moon landing just in case we couldn't actually make it. So now, even though we did land on the moon, people say that the footage they sent back was Kubrick's, as the real footage didn't survive. Personally, I think we put a lot of effort into that trip and it was successful. I don't have a fully formed opinion on the rest of the evidence, but I wouldn't put it past maybe them doing it as a backup plan. I could see that. Maybe Kubrick was even convinced that his footage was the real footage. Or maybe it is. Or maybe the history books are right and that it actually, you know, happened and we have the footage from it. One thing I am fairly certain of, though, the Sun Portal motherships, which seem to be referencing photos and videos that have popped up over the years, all lumped together as motherships, all floating around the sun. It's a very interesting topic, but as I haven't seen it for myself other than in video, and you can do anything with video these days, as we're living in a post-video truth kind of age. So amateurs can now make convincing videos in a matter of hours. So I'm just going to have to move on. I don't even know what would convince me short of my own eyes. And then how do you share that with somebody? Well, hopefully I'll get to attempt to do that at the ESETI camping trip at some point. So, to the SOHO satellite, or the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, which turned 25 on December 2nd, 2020, I didn't delve much deeper into why it was on the map. I just saw that proponents claim that it's taken images of various things that NASA would obviously deny it had. One of those things I had mentioned earlier with Operation Brilliant Pebbles were the Rods of God, which I'm going to go ahead and move on towards here now. That's a reference to the Star Wars space weaponry that Reagan was trying to put in place in 1983. Conspiracy theories say that he did put them in place, and according to nationalinterest.org, an article that I'm going to be including in the show notes, by the way, pointed rods around 20 or 30 feet long and several feet in diameter would have been sent into space via rocket and housed on satellites. where they would then be dropped onto hardened targets like underground bunkers. And while they wouldn't leave any explosive ordnance left over to cause problems later, traveling at hypersonic speeds of Mach 5 or greater, these so-called rods of God would be so completely devastating that they could forego any explosive payload, be it conventional or nuclear. It was supposedly too expensive and abandoned, but if you watch the second Avengers movie, Age of Ultron, then you can understand why dropping an object from above could be very devastating. This is a very interesting idea, and we have thought about implementing over the years. We really are quite clever at being atrociously destructive creatures, aren't we? I think this is actually going to be a shorter episode, but I think it's as good a place as any to wrap up for today. I hope that you join us back here next week as we take a quick break from the map for a 420 special. We did start this podcast as a cannabis-related podcast, after all, and Awaken Vapes is still where this podcast evolved from, so I want to spend our first 420 talking about the history of cannabis. Don't worry, though, there are only three more sections of the map to go, and I've got them all written out as of now, and they'll hopefully be recorded before I start my 420 journey. More on that to start next week's episode, though, and thank you again for joining me here on The Exchange. Thank you again for listening to me as we get closer to finishing up the Great Awakening map. I hope you enjoyed exploring this section as much as I did, and that you're looking forward to the 420 special as a nice change of pace before we power through the final three episodes. I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners. You are the reason I'm doing this. Please tell your friends about us, follow us on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, or wherever else you're listening. And if you can, please leave us a message or a comment or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really will help with the visibility. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.